Well, I got to Roseburg today. I'd left my jogging shoes at home, and I just run, not every day, but I do at least four times a week. And then I found this wonderful grocery store. Sherman's. Is that it? I found Sherman's. I loaded up on tofu. I told you, I'm into tofu. So I got three cartons of tofu, and I got out, got some mileage in the day, and I'm really feeling good. You know, anybody else got out some force? Now, that's good exercise, I'm thinking, tilling up a garden plot. That's good exercise, isn't it? And so, you know, exercise that has a purpose can, you know, is better than just putting yourself on a treadmill. So keys to longevity, and another text for you, Romans chapter 12, and beginning with verse 1, where Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Remember the sacrificial system of the Old Testament? They were required to bring a male, well, there were a number of sacrifices, different sacrifices, depending on the particular ritual that they were going through at the temple. But usually it had to be a year old and it had to be a male because it represented Jesus. And it couldn't be the lame, it couldn't be the diseased animal. It had to be as perfect as they had. And so that's what it's talking about here. It's picking up that idea, and that we are to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your, notice the next phrase here, your spiritual service of worship. A lot of emphasis on worship today in the Christian church. And worship is indeed a vital part of our relationship to God, isn't it? But isn't it fascinating that this text in the New Testament speaks of our offering up our bodies as a part of our service of worship? Anyway, I like that text. So we're going to continue on with the study that was done by Drs. Breslow and Balick in Alameda, California, the 7,000 people. They followed for 9 years looking at the seven health habits, and we saved the best for last. We have only one for tonight, but it is the best. It is the most important of all of the health habits. And consistently, when you look at the studies, there's just nothing that takes the place of exercise. I'm just surprised I didn't hear a groan out there. Some not always our favorite activity, but it certainly is vitally important. And here we're looking at women during the course of the 9 years of the study. And again, we're looking at the mortality rate. And notice on the one side, those who often and vigorously were exercising, 6.5% died during the course of that study. And in comparison, on the other extreme, those who never exercise, 16.1%. So a significant increase. A significant increase on the mortality rate. You see, God made our bodies to be used. Okay, and we need exercise. Okay, and then look at the guys. I tell you, I've always told you, the guys always really show up on this, which means we have the most to gain. Okay? And again, you see on the one extreme, 6.8% for those who often were vigorously exercising, only 6.8% died during the course of the study, compared to 18.6% for those who never exercise. And I'm not going to ask you how many of you guys never exercise. I won't put you on the spot, but we all need it. We need exercise. It needs to be done regularly. And I mean, that's dramatic. There's a difference of about 300% between the two extremes. And again, recognizing that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. This is a part of our spiritual worship. And you know, 20 to 30 minutes out of one's day is not that long. You know, get a MP3 player, stick some, you know, some ear buds into your ear, listen to some really nice music, take your wife out for a nice walk, hold her hand, but make it brisk. Do something. Get up out of the easy chair. And you'll have more energy. You're going to have more energy. You're going to have better health for getting the proper amount of exercise. I know I've convinced every one of you, haven't I? I know how it works. And when we talk about exercise, we're talking about primarily cardiovascular exercise, cardiovascular fitness. Because remember again, the number one killer in the United States is heart disease. And that's true of men. And again, it's true of women, again, when they pass menopause. Anyway, I don't mean to keep always referring to it, but again, the statistics become vitally important to you women as we all are getting a little bit older. You've noticed that, haven't you? And we're not as old as we're going to be. And so if we want longevity and we want a good quality of life, exercise, good diet, these things are all vitally important. Good habits of living. So I'm going to give you a prescription when it comes to exercise. This is based on the studies. It shows that we need 20 to 30 minutes of continuous exercise. And it should be, well, we'll talk about the different kinds of exercises. It needs to be 4 to 6 times a week. Now, if we're taking, we're going out for a mile and a half walk, we could do that 7 days a week. But if we're doing something moderate and more vigorous, then 4 to 6 times a week and we need that 1 day off a week. The studies show we do so much better when we rest 1 day a week. The studies actually show that. So 4 to 6 times a week. And find the time of the day that really works the best for you. For me, it usually has to be at the beginning of the day because once I get into my work, it is hard to pull away from my work to go out there and exercise. And at the end of the day, I tend to be tired. Of course, at the end of the day, I'm involved with the meetings here. And when I get home, it's getting close to 9:30, 10 o'clock. And not a good thing to do just before you go to bed if you're going to do something moderately and vigorously. So, and I don't know how your schedule is, but find a time. Think about it like, you're breathing, aren't you? Do you do that regularly, breathing? Okay. And you're eating regularly, are you? Every day? Are you sleeping every day? Are you getting your exercise every day? See, we got to think of it as one of those vital things that we have to do every day. It's just part of good living. And it will contribute so much. So 4 to 6 times a week, and it must increase our heart rate and our respiration, which means that we're breathing more deeply and our heart rate is going up and we ought to be perspiring. Okay, and when it's 90 degrees as it is today, that's not hard to do. Okay, but it ought to be because, we're pushing ourselves just a little bit. And if you're going to do something, if you're talking about walking, probably generally, that's not going to be a significant problem for us. But if we're going to do something more moderately and more vigorously, you ought to check this through with your physician if you're 35 years of age and older and have not been exercising. If you're going to do something more vigorous than that. And I'm going to share with you the target heart rate. It's age-adjusted. And again, if you're walking, generally that's not going to be maybe a tremendous issue. But if you're going to play a good, strong game of tennis or you're going to be rollerblading, yeah, I can see some of you rollerblading. Well, I'll confess it. I went to Big Five and I saw a nice pair of rollerblades on sale and I picked them up. I've been rollerblading for, 15 plus years. We've got this beautiful trail that's paved right by the Spokane River, and it goes for miles. Crosses over the Idaho border to Coeur d'Alene, and you can even go north of Coeur d'Alene on the trail it connects. Do you have something like that close by? Okay, it's a good thing to do. It's low impact as far as your knees and your joints are concerned. And my friend Bob, I've talked about Bob a little bit, my anesthesiologist friend, I should say more accurately. Man, we used to go out and we used to do 16 to 18 miles. It's about 2 hours. And I learned this long ago. It's good to have somebody that you can exercise with. It helps motivate you. Bob and I just had some of the greatest conversations as we were just, you know, as we were rollerblading. I'm still doing some of that. But anyway, target heart rate. Take the number 220 and subtract your age. You know your age. Don't you all know your age here? Anybody not know their age? Okay. Subtract your age and then multiply by 75% on the low end and then 85% on the high end. And that's the range that you should be in. So it's age adjusted. As we get older, our heart rate will tend to, will go down. I know for me, when I was running in my 20s, my heart rate typically would be up around 180 beats per minute. Today, I have to really struggle to get it up to about 135 and 140 beats per minute. And it's just part of the aging process that we go through. And so that's your target heart rate. This is for those who are doing moderate to vigorous exercise. You go for the jugular right here, right along the voice box. There's that little indentation. You've got to have a watch with a second hand on it. And you count the seconds and you count the heartbeats is what you're doing for 10 seconds. The first heartbeat is zero. Then you multiply that by six, and that gives you your heart rate, per minute. And you should stay within that range. And if you haven't been exercising, you're going to do something more moderate, more vigorous, you ought to build up to it over weeks. You will lose every benefit of your exercise program within 5 to 6 weeks. So again, it's one of those things that should be a lifetime thing. And so just build up to it. Be sure you warm up if you're going to do something moderately to vigorous. Again, if you're walking, you're not going to need to really do a lot of warm-up. But warm up and then cool down. I've seen people that have been out running, and I see them sometimes, you know, they run right up to their porch, and they go into the house, and they haven't cooled down. And In the morning, I'm walking about 1.5 miles every morning. That's my time for prayer. I love to pray when I'm walking. And so if I'm walking in the morning and you go by and I don't respond, it's probably because I'm my mind's somewhere else. And then in my personal schedule, about 4 times a week, that's why I target for running. And I've been doing this for how many years now? I don't want to tell you how many years, but it's been over 30 years. And because it's cardiovascular, the heart is a muscle. And just like any other body muscle, it could become flabby because it's not being exercised. But you would think, well, but it's beating all the time. That is not exercise. Okay? And so, just like when, you know, have you ever broken an arm and had it in cast for about 6 weeks and then had the cast off and remember how weak it was? And maybe you did a little bit of weight bearing exercises to, you know, to rebuild the strength of your muscle. Well, but because it wasn't used, and in the same way, the heart muscle will become flabby. Just like that arm did. And so you have to exercise it, and you do that by raising the heart rate appropriately. So it needs to be continuous exercise, like walking, you know, one step after another. Running can be that. There's a number of things that we can do. Yeah, walking, running, you know, running is good. My body's held up well under running. I don't have any problems with my joints, with my knees, or my hips, and I kind of keep in touch with my knees and hips as I'm getting older, because I want it to last. But I think a lot of it is because I am very careful to warm up, and I'm careful to do some stretching at the end, and cool down by walking. I've been just religious about that. And so rollerblading is a great thing. Get the protective gear. Get a helmet on. Yes, I can see all of you doing this. Now, you have to lean forward when you're rollerblading. If you're staying straight up, you could lose your feet, and then it's not very helpful. Okay, you end up on your back. And tennis, I'm getting back into tennis after many years out of tennis. And I'm discovering, man, there's a cardiovascular effect in tennis, which is great. But walking is a great thing. Gardening can be a very good thing when it comes to, and swimming is one of the best activities if you have access to that kind of a facility, probably in Roseburg, probably, huh? And then I saw Curves down here. What's Curves about? Is that an exercise place? Is that just for women? Just for women. Ah, ha, ha. Okay, so you women, you've got something here that you can do. So, cardiovascular. Let me go back. When does the heart rest? Between beats. It's very efficient in resting between beats. The average resting heart rate in this country is 72 beats per minute at rest. Doesn't mean that's ideal, but that's what it is. Best time to take your heart rate is when you first get up in the morning to really get an accurate resting heart rate. And again, you do it by going here. But by proper cardiovascular fitness program, say you lower your heart rate down to maybe 60 beats per minute at rest. Now, a well-conditioned athlete, a world-class athlete, can get their heart rate down to about 35 to 40 beats per minute, which means that the heart is having a longer time to rest between beats. Does one of you ladies have a calculator in your purse? We're going to calculate out some numbers. Cheryl, do you have one in your purse? Who else? I'm looking at ladies because usually you have a purse. Okay, right back here. Luke does. Okay, now, let's say you get your heart rate down to 60 beats per minute. You're saving 12 beats per minute, obviously. And that means in an hour you're saving 720 beats per hour. Are you with me? Now, this is where I need the calculator. 720 times 24. 24 hours in the day, right? You know where I'm going with this. 17,290 beats per day. 17,000, right? 280. Okay. 17,280 beats you're saving a day. Your heart is resting because the heart, when it is well conditioned, becomes more efficient. The volume of blood per stroke is increased because it becomes more efficient as a pump. And so a person that is in good cardiovascular shape is more active, and yet the heart is not having to work as hard to accomplish the work that it needs to do. And particularly as many of us are in midlife, it's not too late. And as we get older, and some of us who are getting maybe 80s and so forth, we think, well, it's just too late. You know, it's just too late. I'll share a study with you about 80-year-olds. It's not too late. It's never too late. So that's some of the benefits that you can do. And by the way, I should add this too. The metabolic rate goes up. Of course, when you're exercising, you're burning more calories, right? And what is not often known is that at least for 24 to about 36 hours, the metabolic rate remains higher than it would if we had not exercised. Which means for the exercise I did, my metabolic rate, the rate at which I'm burning calories, is higher right now than if I had not gone out today and run. Okay? So it has a residual effect. And if you're really serious about weight management, remember, exercise is a vital element to success in weight management. And anyway, Dr. Kenneth Cooper at the Dallas Institute, Dr. Kenneth Cooper, I mean, he is the aerobic man. He created the exercise program for the Air Force years ago. and wrote the book on aerobics. And he's continued to study the benefits of exercise. And in the early 1990s, they reported a study that the group with light exercise, not heavy, but light exercise, compared to the control group that did not exercise, had, now notice this, 30 times less cancer deaths. Not 30%, 30 times. When I read this, I called Dallas Institute. I asked them to send the documentation for it. And my good friend Max Torkelson lost it for me because he wanted to borrow it as well. But anyway, so cancer rates go down. Now, well, I'm not worried about any of us doing too much exercise, 35 miles or more a week. You begin to depress the immune system. But anyway, so that's what it shows. In 2002, another study put out by the Dallas Institute found that middle-aged men, how many of us are middle-aged? Well, I guess I want to ask you that. Middle-aged men who did not exercise had 4.5 times greater chance of dying during the next 6 years compared to those who did exercise. So this is not just marginal. This really is vitally important. And then he goes on to say, this is from a study done by the University of Illinois at Urbana. It was released in the Journal of Gerontology, November of 2006. Researchers studied people that were 60 to 80 years old. Remember I said some of us are tempted to think that as we're getting older, it's too late. You know, I should have done this when I'm younger, but it's too late. Anyway, they were studying 60 to 80-year-olds who exercise an hour a day, 3 times a week. The study showed an increase in neurons, brain cells. Now, when I took my training, they were teaching us the brain cells you're born with are the brain cells you have for the rest of your life, and the ones that you lose permanently. But this shows that in 60 to 80-year-old people, you can increase brain mass by exercise. That really grabbed my attention because I don't know about you, as I'm getting older, I'm concerned about keeping my mind. You know, I'm still preaching. I just got to use my mind. And my brain is pretty important to the processes of life. So I value that brain. How about you? Okay. We're on the same page, aren't we? And so increase neurons, brain cells, particularly in the frontal lobes of the brain that are important for memory. You want to keep a good, want to have a good memory? And attention span. So, you know, I could just give you so much information on this matter of exercise. Kenneth Cooper, Dr. Cooper says, you are better off being fat than skinny and sedentary. Did you catch that? You're better off being fat than skinny. Just a minute. Are you following that? You're better off being fat than skinny and sedentary. He's talking about being fat and exercising as opposed to being skinny and sedentary. And you're better off smoking a pack a day and exercising regularly than being a non-smoker and sedentary. Don't misunderstand me. In no way am I endorsing obesity or cigarette smoking. I'm trying to tell you how dangerous it is to be sedentary. And if you want good health, and who of us don't, diet, exercise are some of the, couple of the primary things that we need to give attention to. And so you will find, and I checked it out, the website for the ministry, www.lifediscoveryseries.com. And you're going to find, it'll take you to, it will link you to Dr. Kenneth Cooper's website where he has a progressive walk for life program. It's a 12-week walking program. It's progressive. And again, begin slowly, but it will do that for you. And it will give you something that you can just kind of, if you, those of us who like to chart and keep track of things, it will give you something to follow. So, We looked at the Bezalelic study. We find out we ought not to be smoking. We discovered that alcohol is really not that healthy for us, particularly when one's drinking too much. Breakfast is very important to good health. We need to limit eating between meals. It ought to be the exception. We need 8 hours of sleep a night. And we need a positive mental and emotional health. That's vital. And we need to be exercising 4 to 6 times a week. That's what we need to do. Now, there's a compounding effect for all of these health habits. And looking at the women to begin with, during the 9 years, they found, notice on the far end, those who were following none to maybe three, as many as three as the habit of the habits. 12.1% died, compared to, on this end, those who were following all seven habits, 5.1%. So, again, this is not marginal. And then, guys, are you ready for it? Here it is. 19.7% of those who were following none to three habits died during the course of the 9 years of the study, compared to 5.2% for those who followed all seven habits. So there's a compounding benefit as we seek to follow all of these habits that we have studied. So that's why we call it keys to longevity. Okay, I've got to preach, so I guess I ought to bring that to an end. Unless there's a question. Is there a question? Yeah, I see that too. I don't know. You know, you're using your upper arms. I suppose there's some benefit on that. I see people sometimes, they have little weights on them. You know, and it's the same kind of idea. By the way, let me say something quickly about doing some weight-bearing exercise. Have some weights in your house. Pick some up. Do some upper body, because remember, the body composition is changing from 30 years of age as we get older. We are getting more proportionally fat, and we're losing lean body tissues. Again, exercise all plays into this, as you know. And again, fat tissue burns calories at half the rate as muscle tissue does. So I bought for my sons a wonderful weight system, which has taken up my oldest son's bedroom. And he's not getting it out of there, because I'm going to keep it. And I try to get in there, and I try to be regular in getting some upper body, you know, some weight-bearing exercise. Keep those muscles fit. Yeah. Keep active, particularly as we're getting older. In your 70s, 80s, keep active. A lot of, anyway, I've got to stop.